several times in the Word of God, Abraham is called the friend of God. In 2 Chronicles, if you wish to mark those places or read them, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, Abraham is called the friend of God. It says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 7, "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever?" Abraham, thy friend forever. And then in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 8, another scripture refers to Abraham as the friend of God. Isaiah 41, verse 8. It says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." And then over in the book of James, in James chapter 2, verse 23, again we read Abraham called the friend of God. And the scripture was fulfilled, James 2, 23, which saith, "Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him," or counted unto him, "for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Now, among the Arabs and the Jewish people, Abraham is still spoken of as the friend of God. Many times when they refer to Abraham now, he is called the friend of God. Many translate this word the lover of God or the beloved of God. Now, someone may say, that's a high degree, so high that I cannot attain unto it. It would be idle for me to dream of being accounted the friend of God. But I don't believe that. I believe that you and I, like Abraham, can also be the friend of God. Abraham, my friend, God said. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Our Lord said in John 15, "You are my friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I called you not servants, but I've called you my friends." Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Abraham was the friend of God because he believed God. Abraham believed God, and he was called the friend of God. "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Abraham, friend of God, because he believed. And I want us to turn tonight to, I think, the most severe trial of Abraham's faith, and I believe the most beautiful picture in the Bible anywhere of Abraham's believing God. And I'm going to point out seven things about faith which is pleasing to God. The faith which we must have if we're to be called with Abraham the friend of God. Now, if I can read this experience, Abraham, friend of God, and this experience can be mine, then I believe as Abraham was the friend of God, I can be the friend of God. That's what I want to be. Let's look at verse 1. "And it came to pass after these things that God did try Abraham." Now, faith is going to be tried. Faith is going to be tried. I can be certain that if my faith is true faith, if it is saving faith, if it is faith that is pleasing to God, it's going to be tried, it's going to be tested, it's going to be proved in a very severe and strong manner. Now, we have several scriptures that tell us that. Let me read a few of them to you. First of all, from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. The scripture says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Faith is going to be tried. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Peter writes this, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." And then in 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13, the apostle writes this. In 1 Peter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." So it says in our text, it came to pass after these things that God did try Abraham. God tried him. And faith, if it's saving faith, if it's faith that pleases God, I can be certain of this. It's going to be tried. And it's going to be tried in a very severe and strong manner. Now, this is what I noted also. Many trials of faith did God put upon Abraham. For example, he was comfortable and happy down in his home, in his home country, and God came to him and said, "Leave your home and leave your father and leave your friends and go to a land I'll show you." So Abraham left his home and left his friends and left his family and began to wander. And he wandered around in a strange land, having no home for many, many years, living in tents. He never had a son, an heir. He was promised a son. He was promised an heir, but no son came. And then he, through suggestions by Sarah and Hagar and others, produced a son, but it wasn't the right son. And then he had to send him away. He loved that boy Ishmael, but he had to send him away. Abraham was tried in wars with heathen kings. His whole life, from the time he left his home until this hour, was a series of trials. And here it says, it came to pass after these things, after all of these trials and after all of these experiences, that God came to him when he was old and full of days, 120 years old. You'd think that the warfare was over. You'd think that the time of testing was over. You'd think that the trials were over. "Lord, I've proved myself again and again and again." But after these things, he must face his most severe trial, the most severe trial of his whole experience, of his whole life. And I'm saying this, that our last trials may be the greatest trials. We can never say that the journey is over. We can never say that the race is run until we are with Christ. And the scripture says this, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." The scripture tells us that we are of the household of faith, of household of Christ, if we keep our confidence steadfast through every trial unto the end. No man, having put his hand to the plow and turns and looks back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So Abraham, after these things, after many battles, after many victories, after many trials, and after many times of testing, here in the shady years of his life, here in the gray hairs of his life, here in the final days of his life, has got to face his most severe and greatest trial. But I promise you, faith is going to be tried. And Peter tells us, don't think it strange, beloved, when you have to endure trials. I'll tell you when you ought to think it strange, when you don't have to endure trials. There's something wrong with the person whom God never tries, because he tries all of his people. He chastens all of his people. And faith, if it is pleasing to God, will be tried. All right, verse 2. Now I want you to look at every word of this second verse. It deserves our particular attention. Every word of this second verse. Look at it carefully. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll tell thee of. The second thing about faith is this. Faith is not only going to be tried, but faith is devoted to Christ alone. Now the believer, the true believer, is a person who loves. The scripture says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. I'm not talking to people tonight who do not love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I have no message tonight for people who know nothing of the love of God, which is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Abraham was a man who loved his son. He loved his family. But this is obvious in this scripture. He didn't love that son more than he loved Christ. He didn't love that family more than he loved Christ. You listen to our Lord. Over here in the 10th chapter of Matthew, verse 37 and 38, our Lord said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now the believer loves his family, but he does not love his family more than he loves Christ. The believer loves life. He loves living. He loves the good things that God has given, but not more than Christ. Our Lord said to Peter, Peter was out there fishing with the disciples, and he brought them in. They gathered around him, and our Lord looked at Peter, and he said, do you love me more than these? I think the Lord pointed to that boat and those nets and that sea and those fish and all these things that Peter loved. He was a fisherman, a big fisherman. But our Lord said, Peter, do you love me more than these? More than these? The child of God, the believer, loves life. He loves living, but not more than Christ. He that saveth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Christ is our first love. And that's what the Lord is proving here. He's proving the faith of his friend is a devoted faith, devoted to Christ. We're devoted to other things. We're devoted to his word, to his church, to his people, to our families, to our friends, to these things. But Christ is first. In fact, the charge against that church in Revelation 2, verse 4 was this. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. Anything is out of place if it's in the place of Christ. Anything is out of place. Any person is out of place in your life if it's in the place of Christ. Anything at all. He is first. That's what he's saying here. You take your son, whom you love, your only son, Isaac, and you sacrifice him to me. I believe true faith is willing to be stripped of everything and everyone but Christ. Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David said in Psalm 71, Lord, when I am old and gray-headed, don't forsake me. Don't forsake me. David said again, my mother and my father may forsake me, but the Lord will take me up. Don't, Lord, forsake me. A man who is willing to be parted from the fellowship of Christ for any reason, and for any payment, and for any enjoyment, does not know Christ. Now you put that down. That's what I'm saying. Faith is going to be tried. If it's saving faith, God's going to try it. He says that all the way through. I read those scriptures. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold, will endure to the glory of Christ. It'll be tried. And brother, I'll tell you this. That faith is so devoted to Christ, it'll be willing to part with anything in this world to walk with Christ. And a man or a woman who is willing for that fellowship and communion with Christ to be broken for any mess of pottage, whatever it is, doesn't know Christ. For he that loveth father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, yea, his own life more than me is not worthy of me. Now, what's the third thing? Third thing about faith, it'll be tried. It's devoted faith. And God requires that. He's a jealous God. He's going to be first in your heart or he's not going to live in your heart. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and started for the place that God told him about. Now, faith is obedience. It's obedience. Evidently, God came to Abraham in the evening, probably around the evening sacrifice, because he didn't start that evening. He didn't start that afternoon. He started early the next morning. God spoke to him probably in the evening sacrifice, and it says, first thing in the morning, he rose up early, early in the morning. I got something to do. I got some orders from God. I got a message from the Lord. I got to be about my father's business. Now, Abraham could have presented many human arguments for not obeying that command. Abraham, take your son, whom you love, your only son, and sacrifice him to me for a burnt offering. Abraham could have presented many human arguments for not obeying that command, but Lord, why, you said in Isaac my seed would be called. How in the world can I have seed in Isaac if I kill him? But Lord, how can I explain and act like that to my wife? This is the promised son. This is the cherished son. This is the only son. How can I explain that? How can I ever face my wife again if I do that? But Lord, I'd be a terrible man in the sight of other men if I did. What will the heathen that live about me think if I take the life of my son? Lord, I'm an old man. I want to close my days in joy. I don't understand why you're calling on me to suffer like this. But he offered no argument. You won't find one. The scripture says that when God told him that, he rose up early in the morning and started for the mountain. He presented no arguments. He believed God. It says Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Oh, that we would believe God, though we cannot understand. Somebody said where reason ends, faith begins. Where reason ends, where human wisdom ends, that's where faith begins. God's word, God's commandments must not be subjected to human wisdom. When our Lord was at the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee, they told him the wine was gone, and Mary, his mother, called the servants, and this is what she said. She said, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. And I believe that's the best advice that can be given to any human being. Whatsoever the Lord saith, you do it. Don't you look for a reason not to do it. Don't you look for any reason to do it except he said it. That's sufficient. Whatever he says, you do it. Now look at verse 4. Now this is interesting right here. Now watch it. First of all, faith will be tried. That's what he says. It came to pass after these things that God tried Abraham. Who did it? God did it. God did it. He tried Abraham. Faith is devoted. God hit him at the particular point where he knew that the trial would be the most severe. And then thirdly, faith is obedient. It rises up right now, and obeys God. But now the fourth thing, verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, the place God designed for the offering of Isaac was 3 days' journey. Can you imagine what those 3 days were like to Abraham? Can you just imagine? Oh, if God had come to him one night and said, "Now, Abraham, offer Isaac tomorrow morning," he wouldn't have slept that night. He'd have got up the next morning and went about the deed. But God let him think about it. One night, one day, one night, another day, one night, and another day. Abraham, if you're going to change your mind, you got plenty of time to do it. God will give you plenty of time. These 3 days, I'm sure, were like 3 years to that old man. He saddled the donkeys. He and the boy walked along, and I'm sure the days of travel, he watched that boy, how proud he was of him, how his life was wrapped up in him, how he loved him, what a wonderful son he was. And as they walked along through the day, he relived every time of joy and every time of pride and every time of experience that they had together. He relived those experiences through the day. And then I'm sure at night, as the fire was burning, he never slept. He sat over against a rock and he watched that boy lying there sleeping. And he watched the fire as it flickered, and he looked up at the stars. God didn't say anything. God didn't say anything. God already given him his orders. And he was letting Abraham spend some time thinking about it. God prepares his vessels. And he does it through trial, and he does it through time. Time. And that time and that trial will be of sufficient length to establish and prove that faith. And prove that faith. God slowly prepares his vessel. For example, Moses. When Moses came out of Egypt, he was 40 years old. God put him, took him out of the universities of Egypt, took him out of the wealth and luxury of Egypt, took him out of the mainstream of life, and put him off over yonder on the backside of a desert for 40 years. Sitting in the quiet of the desert moon and the desert sun for 40 years, looking at sheep and sand and sun, getting him ready for attack. Give him plenty of time. David was ordained. He was anointed king of Israel back when he was a lad. He didn't take the throne till he'd gone through battles, he'd gone through caves, he'd gone through all manner of extreme trials and tests. He had plenty of time to take another ship or to change his mind. Joseph was headed for the throne of Egypt, but he came that way through the pit, Potiphar's house, and prison before he ever got to the throne. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And people that have the idea, because it doesn't happen today, God's not in it, or because it doesn't happen tomorrow, God's not in it, or because it doesn't happen next year, God's not in it. That proves many times God is in it. Because he prepares his vessel slowly. He makes them wait. He makes them wait. He tries them. He spoke to Abraham, "Go sacrifice your son." And then the heavens were quiet for 3 days and nights. God never said another word. Think about it, Abraham. Think about it. Think about it. God's not rushing you. That's what bothers me about so many of these soul winners. Give me a hand now. Make a decision now. Trust Christ now. Do it now. Hold on. Christ said, you sit down and count the cost. You sit down and count the cost. You may not want on this train. You may not want to walk this road. You may find out 15 or 20 years from now you're not on the road too. Christ is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. But look at verse 5. But faith is patient. And verse 5, faith is certain. And Abraham said to the young men, finally they came to the mountain where he was to sacrifice Isaac. And he said to the young men, "Now you stay here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." What's this next line? "And come again unto you." I and the lad will go yonder to worship, and we'll come again unto you. This is what I say. Abraham believed God. He knew that God had said, "In Isaac shalt thy seed be called." He knew that God had said, Isaac will be a great nation. He knew that God had said, Isaac will have sons and daughters. And he knew this, that whatever happened to Isaac couldn't change the sovereign God's purpose. God's going to accomplish his purpose. Old Abraham believed God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. He was willing to sacrifice his son. He was willing to carry out what God told him to do. He was willing to put that boy on the altar and offer him a burnt offering. But he knew this. God is going to either raise him from the dead and bring him back to life there, or God Almighty was going to reveal to him something else. But he said, that boy and I are coming back together. That's what he said to these servants. In Hebrews 11, look at this, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he actually offered him up in his heart. He actually slew him. He'd already given him to God in his heart. There wasn't any doubt about what he was going to do when he got to that mountain. Abraham, just like Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world in the purpose and mind and heart of God, Abraham had already offered up that boy. And that he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shalt thy seed be called. Abraham accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Even from the dead. Brethren, faith is certain. How can you be so sure? I've read the last chapter of this book. I know what's going to happen. Did you ever buy a book and read it and turn over and read the last chapter before you read the first chapter? Well, when you do that, you don't get near as excited reading through the book. When the hero gets in trouble, you say, he'll be all right. I've read the last chapter. And the hero loses his shirt and loses his fortune, loses his family. Why, he's going to be all right. I read the last chapter. And that's what I say about this life. It's going to be all right. I've read the last chapter. Our Lord said, whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he's already glorified. Whatever God does, we know this, that his promises and purposes in Christ Jesus are going to be fulfilled. I'm certain of that. That's the reason I'm not too alarmed about the communists and the Third World War and communist takeover and liberalism and all this socialism and other things. God's on the throne. He's on the atom bomb and the hydrogen bomb and all the other bombs. Have you read the last chapter? Man's not going to destroy this world. God is. God is. And all things work together for good to them that love God. Maybe we need some judgment. Maybe we need some trying times. Maybe we need a depression. Maybe we need a war. If we have one, God will send it, and we'll walk through it rejoicing. That's so. And it's time we quit wringing our hands and acting like a bunch of people that don't have a God. The songwriter said, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, content whatever lot I see, since it's God through Jordan who leadeth me. Abraham said to those boys, here he was going up the mountain to slay his son. He said, now you stay here. Isaac and I'll be back at a while. Isaac and I'll be back. He didn't know how much blood was going to run and how many tears were going to be shed and how much agony he was going through and how long it'd take, but he said, Isaac and I'll be back. And that's what I think every one of us ought to quit talking about the sovereignty of God unless we can believe it in our hearts and act like it. Quit murmuring and complaining and quarreling and arguing. Our contentment is the assurance that he's going to do everything for our good and his glory, and rest in him. Enter his rest. This old man, this man of faith, this friend of God, he says it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Now look at verse 7. Here's an interesting thing. Faith is informed. It's not only, faith is not only devoted and contented, but faith is informed. In verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and we parents ought to look at this right here. He said, my father, and Abraham said, here am I, my son. And Isaac said he'd been taught by his father. He'd been taught this. He'd been taught without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Isaac had been taught that salvation was not in works and salvation was not in deeds. Salvation was in the blood. Isaac had been taught from Leviticus 17:11, I have given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And Isaac said, Father, here's the fire and the wood. Father, you can't have an offering without a lamb. Where's the lamb? Do our sons and daughters know that? Do we know it? Well, brother man, I believe I'll go to heaven. I've always tried to live the best I could. Where's the lamb? Well, brother man, I believe God. I don't believe God sends me to hell now. I've been a Baptist all my life. Where's the lamb? Well, I've been baptized. I've made a profession back when I was a boy, and I was baptized, and I kind of drifted away, you know. But, you know, I believe once saved, always saved. Where's the lamb? Father, here's the fire, and here's the wood. Where is the lamb? In your testimony, in your offering of praise, let me ask you, where is the lamb? If there's not the Lamb of God in your testimony, you're not saved. You haven't an offering sufficient to put away sin. You haven't an offering that will be pleasing to God. You haven't an offering that's effectual to put away transgressions without the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist tells us who he is. He looks at Christ Jesus and said, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I like what Abraham said back to his boy. He said, Father, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide, watch this, himself a lamb. God provided the lamb, and God himself is that lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. And do you know, they tell me that Mount Moriah, where they were standing at that moment, is Mount Calvary, where Christ died many hundreds of years later. On that very mountain, God did provide himself a lamb, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But faith is informed. Faith knows without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Faith knows that salvation is not in my deeds. It's not in my works. It's not in my church membership. It's not in my decisions. It's not in my ordinances and ceremonies. It's in Christ, the Lamb of God. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And then watch this. Faith rewarded. In verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now let me point this out before we go any further. Faith is going to be tried. How it responds determines whether or not it's faith. Faith is going to be tried. Faith is going to be tried for its devotion. Is Christ first or isn't he first? Is Christ all or isn't he all? Is Christ everything or something else everything? That's what it's going to be tried for. Because that's when the Lord said, Abraham, now I know you love me. I know you knew you loved Isaac. It was obvious you loved Isaac. But in this trial, we prove that I'm still the Lord and I'm first. It's going to be tried. Now watch this. So Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, said, here I am. Lay not your hand upon the lad. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Abraham, here I am. Here I am, Lord. All that I have is on this altar. Here I am, Lord. I have nothing but thee. Here I am, Lord. Totally submissive to thy sovereign purpose. Here I am, Lord. Though you slay me, I'll trust you. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Save me or I perish. The knife's coming down unless you stop me. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. It was then that faith was rewarded. For it was then that the substitute was revealed. Listen, when he held the knife to slay his son, and God said, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, don't touch your son. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. I tell you, when we come to the end of our so-called abilities, somebody said man's extremity is God's opportunity. When we come to the end of ourselves, when we come to the impossibility of any way, shape, form, or fashion of pleasing a holy God, when we come to the end of ourselves, then I believe that we can lift up our eyes and we'll see him who is our substitute. In Psalms 107, I want you to look at this. In Psalms 107, I think this is the reason why many eyes have not beheld the beauty of Christ, is because they've never really come to the end of themselves. There's too much flesh left. There's too much self. There's too much human righteousness. Look at verse 2 of Psalms 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and the west and the north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Abraham at this place was totally empty. Totally empty. And then he was filled. In this place, Abraham was totally slain. And then he began to live. In this place, Abraham was totally stripped. Completely stripped. Here I am, Lord. Here's everything I have. Here's total, complete submission. Here, Lord, is no rebellion. Save me or I perish. What you do with me is in your hands. Here I am. And that's when faith was rewarded. Now watch faith's song in verse 14. Here's the song of faith. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, I have seen it. You know why this man was a friend of God? A friend of God. Faith was tried. Faith was devoted. Faith was obedient. When God commanded, he rose up. Faith was patient. 3 days and three nights. Patient. Waiting on God. And faith was certain. He told those young men, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, I don't know how it's going to take place, but I know how it's going to turn out. I believe in the purpose and promise of God. You wait here and Isaac and I are coming back. And faith was absolutely obedient. And then faith was informed. I know it takes blood to cleanse. And then faith was rewarded. When he came to the end of himself, when he put that son on the altar, God showed him the lamb. And he took Isaac off and put the ram in his place. The scripture says, in the stead of his son. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this example. This is faith. We see why Abraham is the friend of God. With Abraham, God was first. With Abraham, God's word was his command and his desire. All things were submitted under the wisdom and direction of his God. He believed. Our Father, we pray that when our faith is tried, that it may come forth as purified gold, that it may come forth as a trophy of thy grace. Give us this faith. O Lord, we pray with our disciples, increase our faith. Let us see the beauty and glory of him who is our substitute and our sacrifice. May Christ Jesus, our Lord, be glorified in our faith, that we may be called the friend of God. We pray it in his name and for his glory. Amen.